Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Technical difficulty there. Welcome to the Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Today we have a tremendous show for you. You know, when you think of Bellator, you know, everybody wants to think of the men's side of the card. But when you look at the women's side of the card, there's a tremendous athlete that has emerged, tremendous competitor. And you look at Bellator 185, and you've got Lisa Insane Blaine. And she is creating a path of destruction that is truly caught my eye. You know, I do this show weekly, and there's not very many fighters that grab my attention like this young lady has. She's truly created a path that I felt needed to be shared on the show. With that being said, Lisa Insane Blaine, welcome to the program. Did we lose her? Are you still there, Lisa?
Hello? I'm still here.
Can
hello.
You hear me?
I think we're having a little
We're having a little technical difficulty today. I apologize for that. You know, when you look at Bellator 185 and you look at Anna Houghton, what were your thoughts going into that fight, considering she was a two-time world champion in boxing? What were your reservations going into that fight?
I was a nervous wreck going into that fight, an absolute nervous wreck going into that fight. I'm going against a two-time world boxing champion, a black belt in taekwondo. I was nervous going into that fight, but I was also confident because I know my coach, he, you know, picked the right opponent for me. He wouldn't put me up against someone that he thought I didn't have a chance of winning. So I was also confident at the same time, but I can't help the nerves. That's something I just can't help.
Yeah, you know, I can understand that. But you went in there, and to be quite honest with you, you were a seasoned vet. You proved that you were the better fighter that night. When you sat back after that fight and you thought about what just occurred and coming out with a victory, what did it do to the mindset of Lisa Blaine?
It put me in awe. I never felt more humble in my life. If you recall, after when I heard my name, that was just like the most unreal thing ever, just dropping to my knees. My whole body felt weak. I couldn't believe it, but at the same time, I did believe it because I worked so hard. I trained so hard for that fight. We took that fight on 4 weeks' notice, which was really just a three-week training camp. Honestly, I trained my ass off for that fight. And when I got my hand raised, that was just the most unreal feeling ever. And I love that feeling. It was awesome.
Yeah, you know, being that I've been in the sport for, this is my 21st year now as a photographer and a journalist, you know, one thing that I've noticed time after time with fighters that have had adversity in their life and fought through struggles, you know, they seem to inspire others, and even, I would say it even helps them in the cage. So when I seen a post that you did that kind of caught my attention, you know, most people don't even know the struggle that you went through. What was life like for Lisa Blaine growing up?
To make an extremely long story short, I was getting into a lot of trouble. And when I say trouble, I don't mean like with other people or I'm just trouble within myself because I wasn't happy with myself. So to be honest with you, if I didn't start training, honestly, I'd probably be dead today, to be honest with you. So I was in a lot of trouble with myself. So once I found training, it was a new drug to me, if you will. That was my new high. So, That training saved my life. That's an extremely long story short.
Most definitely. Now, you look at your affiliation with Ultimate MMA. Would you say that your affiliation with them has allowed you to find who you are and allow you to, you know, move forward in the future with, I guess, better acclimation to the sport? And who would be your mentor from that affiliation in Ultimate MMA?
Ultimate MMA is actually the third school that I've been to. I've started off with two other schools. Ultimate MMA is the one that I feel made me a better fighter, made me the fighter who I am today. So obviously my mentor there is the head coach, Andrew. Andrew, sorry, I still can't pronounce your last name till this day. Sorry. Well, you know who he is. I can't pronounce his last name for the life of me. But, no, he's definitely my mentor. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't have a 3-fight win streak right now if it weren't for him. So yeah, he would definitely be my mentor.
When you look at life, we all have our different passions. We all have things that make us happy. You know, the sport truly is a defining place for you. You know, on my show, we kind of step in and out of the octagon. It's a show about the fighter to basically show you who you are with a 360 view. You know, you look at your love life, and I know you might not want to share this with the people, but I think it's a tremendous attribute that we're in 2017, and people are allowed to share and speak about who they love and what makes them happy in life. What has your partner done for you moving forward in your career?
Oh, my goodness. She's done so much for me. She was there when I lost a lot of things. She saw me lose in the cage. I believe I put that in one of my posts before. She just never gave up on me. She never gave up on me. She believed in me. And that weekend leading up to the Bellator fight, if she weren't there, we stayed in the hotel room, I think, like 3 nights. If I were alone in that hotel room for 3 nights, I would have gone crazy. I would have lost my mind, to be honest with you. Like I told you, I was a nervous wreck. She kept me calm. She has just been there for me, and she never gave up on me. And I love her so much for that. So I thank her, and I love her. Her name is Lori. Hi, Lori.
You know, that has to be the most tremendous feeling, you know, and I like that we're in these days. You know, I had Amanda Nunes with Nina Anzaroff on. I had Jocelyn Liebarger, and I think it's a beautiful testament to life when we can actually, you know, state who we love and has helped us through adversity and helps us continue to go through our struggle. It's a tremendous attribute in life. You know, when you look at family and you take a step back in the early days of Lisa Blaine, you know, how hard was it for you, you know, to step out of the norm and step into the cage?
I would say hard as far as like that first amateur fight that I had. That was probably the most nervous that I've been. And the next time I was that nervous was Bellator. And that first MMA fight, I don't know if you ever saw it, but it is on YouTube. I got my ass looked on a new level. And I think anybody at that point would have quit. That just drove me to go even further. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like to get punched for real. Like I was training with like big dudes, big guys, but the difference is they weren't looking to kill me. So, you know, that first amateur fight, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in a fight right now. I didn't realize getting hit this hard hurt that badly, but it drove me that much further to keep training harder. And I never knew that I would go pro one day. My goal when I first started training was just to have one amateur fight. And I never thought I'd be pro stepping in the Bellator cage one day. So, yeah, I'm proud of my accomplishment.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, you know, and I like that you come off like that because, you know, some of the most humble world champions that I've ever interviewed always go back to their amateur career, and they always go back. I don't consider them losses. I consider them lessons learned. And the fight you're referring to is with Sarah Click. Yeah, and that was Premier FC 16 way back in 2007,
yeah.
Or 2013, I mean. But, you know, the thing that we learn, and when you learn from your mistakes, you can only grow. And evidently you've done that. You've stepped up into the pro ranks. You're on a 3-0 winning streak, 2-0 as a pro. Did you ever think back when you look over your shoulder that Lisa and Sane Blaine would finally make it to where she's fought so hard to go?
Well, absolutely not. The thing is, I started training, Don, when I was 34 years old. I was 34 when I started training. So, yeah, it's like, you know, being in my mid-30s, I didn't have that mindset. If I were like 20, I would have said, okay, I'm going to make it to the UFC one day. I just had this mindset. Well, how far can you possibly go, Lisa, when you're 34 years old? You just started training. I had no previous fight experience whatsoever. So, again, like I said, that my main goal was to just have one amateur fight just so I could be 90 years old and said, hey, I did that one day, you know? So, no, absolutely not in a million years where I thought I would have my hand raised in a Bellator fight. So, yeah, these past 4 years have been such a major, major turnaround for me. So, again, that's why that last win was so emotional for me. I never, never thought I would get my hand raised in Bellator. And, again, I want to thank my coach Andrew for that.
You know, I found it to be sensational because, you know, like we talked about earlier, not only were you just going in there to make your Bellator debut, you did it against a 2-time world champion in boxing.
Yes.
That's a tremendous feat in itself, but to walk out in a promotion of that size and that magnitude, you know, you're a nervous person already. We've talked about this before off there. You know, so to be able to walk out in front of all those people, and come out victorious. And, you know, Bellator's a tremendous family. I work with Bellator, you know, each and every show. They're out here in the Midwest. Rich Cho and Ian Matthews and all them are tremendous people in my life. What was it like for you to finally step from the small promotions, the semi, you know, big promotions into a world-class promotion? How did Bellator treat you and accept you with open arms?
Oh, Bellator was awesome. They treated me like a royalty, to be honest with you. They were awesome. They take care of the fighters, I can tell. And again, I just it's speechless. I'm still speechless, even though that fight was like what, almost 2 months ago or something like that. I'm still in awe.
Yeah.
I still make posts on Facebook about it. Like, I'm still in awe about it. And as you can see, I'm still speechless about it. I'm very thankful for it.
Well, you should be. Yeah, you should be. It's defining who you are, as not only as a person, but as a warrior. And with that comes, you know, I guess the best way to explain it is only in your heart. Only you know what you've accomplished. And you said yourself at 34 years old, you know, I'm 51. Mm-hmm. So what I do still, there's things that I still do in a day that I look back and I in the mirror and I smile. And, you know, I'm proud of myself for what I've done. I talk about things that I've done, you know, years ago like you. Because as you get older, you realize that memories are few and far between. So when you create great memories and a great future for yourself like you're doing, I think you have a tremendous future ahead of you. Now, has Bellator reached back out to you, offered you any future fights coming up on their card, or what are the expectations of Lisa Blaine?
Bellator has not reached out to me personally, but my coach has reached out to them. I'm not 100% positive, but I believe Bellator is coming back to Connecticut in February. I'm not positive. But my coach wants me to get back onto that card within the next 2-3 months. In the meantime, I'm still training. I do believe he wants me to fight at a different weight class. I'm not sure. I can't say anything. Nothing is set in stone right now. But, he definitely wants me to fight in Bellator again. He does have a specific opponent in mind. And, again, I can't say anything right now. But, I believe within the next 2 months I will be fighting for Bellator again. Hopefully they want me back.
You know, we talk about, you know, your age. You bring up, you know, you're 34 years old. What was
I'm
38 now. I apologize.
Yeah.
What was it
okay.
that truly inspired you to want to step up at that age? You know, I look at myself. I worked a full career as an engineer, and then I stepped into the sport myself. And, you know, I wondered why I walked away from engineering, but I have no regrets. So when you look at 34 years old, you stepping into the sport, and now 38. Do you have any regrets, or what are your greatest takeaways from this move that you made in your life?
Honestly, Don, I was a huge fan of the sport. I loved it. Getting punched in the face looked cool to me. It was awesome. I was like, ooh, I want to do that. But it looked cool. Like, I've been watching it since the Pride days, and Anderson Silva was my favorite fighter, the Spider. Like, I loved that dude. He was awesome. But honestly, once I saw Ronda Rousey, to be honest with you, like, she was my inspiration right there, like women fighters. Gina Carano, women fighters. I'm like, okay, I have got to do this. I want to try this. Again, at 34 years old, I didn't think, you know, how far I would get with this. I think I wanted to try it just to, again, with the trouble that was going on in my life, I needed to put my mind into something else, get another activity for myself. At first, I considered it a hobby, if you will. So, you know, starting at 34 years old and then 4 years later, here I am. Do I have any regrets? Of course not. Absolutely not. My mom hates what I do. Every time she sees me with a bruise or a black eye or something, you know, I'm her baby. I'll always be her baby. She can't stand it. She wants me to stop, to be honest with you. But do I have any regrets? Of course not. Absolutely not. And I think I only have, you know, being 38 years old, just a couple years left in me. And I'm going to go all out, Don. I'm going to go all out. I really am.
And make the best of it. I truly believe that. You know,
yes.
you caught my attention on your first pro fight with, and I watched it and I saw a warrior that truly knew what she wanted. And, you know, you went out there and you did what you did. And I was amazed by the ability that you ascertained. When you look back at the early days, who would you say, other than the gentleman from, you know, your affiliation in the gym, who would you say was your major mentor that gave you the true guidance that you needed to continue when those days didn't look so bright?
That would be my roommate who I can't stand, but I love him to death, Adam Wall. That would be that guy. He met me. I only had that one amateur fight. When he first saw me, I looked like a raccoon because my face was all messed up and everything. So he never actually saw my first amateur fight. From then on, he has been in my corner every single fight after that. So he's definitely the guy who is an inspiration to me. He doesn't train me anymore. Andrew is my main coach right now, but he's always the guy that I would keep in my corner because he knows how to keep me calm. And I believe I told you I get nervous. I'm a nervous wreck. So he knows how to calm me. So that's the guy who I will always keep in my corner and also who I always keep in my heart.
I love that. You know, every once in a while we look back and we catch a reflection in a mirror, or we're walking through the park and, you know, we cross a puddle and we look down and we see a reflection of ourselves. And for that split moment, we kind of get drawn into who we are and we get a reflection of where our life is and where we're going. What does Lisa Blaine see?
I'm sorry, what do I see when what?
When you see yourself in a, you know, you're walking down, let's say you're walking down, you know, through the park, or you see a puddle on the ground and you look down in that puddle and you see a reflection of yourself. Who do you see?
You know what's funny? I used to see a loser, to be honest with you. I used to see a nobody. I used to see someone that, what is your purpose on this earth? Now I see somebody who has goals, ambitions. I want to strive for something. I always wanted to fight for a title as an amateur, and for some reason I never got that title shot as an amateur. So now my new goal is to fight for a title as a pro. So right now what I see is a future champion with a belt around her waist.
You know, I do too. You know, like I said, there's not very many people in this sport that catch my attention, you know, especially just two fights out. And you certainly did that at Bellator 185. You're a tremendous warrior. You got tremendous talent. And I think you may have gotten started a little bit late, but I think you're still going to be able to ascertain your dreams. What would it mean for Lisa and Sane Blaine to actually get that opportunity and move forward in that aspect of life?
Oh, my gosh. That would mean the world to me. That would mean the world to me. I don't know what else to say. It would mean everything to me. And, again, I know my mom hates what I do. I think she would be proud of me if one day I said, hey, Mom, guess what? I have this big, huge gold belt around my waist. That would mean the world to me.
Yeah. So those are the most special times because, you know, I look at a lot of the fighters that I've watched grow up from amateurs and then go into other promotions and then end up in the UFC and end up as world champions, and they sit back and they reflect on that moment. It completes them, and I can see where you want to go because, you know, you're trying so hard to get where you want to be, and you truly are deserving. You know, one thing about this sport, I find there's a lot of complacency when it comes to the women's aspect of MMA. Has Lisa Blaine ever felt that aspect of the sport, or have you felt that you've been accepted into the sport open-heartedly and open-handedly?
I feel I've been welcomed with open arms, to be honest with you. I've never had any hardship or anything like that. I mean, no matter what you do, Don, you're going to have haters no matter what. And I try to stay away from, like, social media comments of certain people. I'm still new to this game, so when I read certain comments of the hate, it does kind of get to me. I can't lie. You know, I'm not there yet, and I know certain hate comments are only going to get worse. But no matter what you do, you're always going to have haters. But for the most part, I'm being welcomed with open arms. I have more love than I do hate. So that's what.
Yeah, you know, well, the reason I ask is because I interviewed Professor Jenna Bishop out of Gracie Humate out of San Diego, and she's a tremendous practitioner. And one of the things she brought up on the show was that even in 2017, she gets this social bias, which in jiu-jitsu, I can kind of understand in certain aspects. She said that there's still people in the gym that don't want to roll with her. There are people that feel that, you know, women shouldn't be in jiu-jitsu. And, you know, it kind of caught me and threw me for a left because I look at the sport and I don't see it. I see the women's aspect in MMA continually growing. So that's why I wanted to ask you that question so I can get a different perspective. You know, because there's some genres of the sport that a lot of people don't understand that aren't willing to grow, and the MMA aspect is truly willing to grow and accept anybody and everybody. It's just some of the older genres of the sport, I assume, that don't really want to open up their gyms full, you know, open-heartedly and full-heartedly to practitioners. And she spoke of the social biasness and how it made her, you know, displeased sometime with the sport. And we're talking about a world champion. And so that's why I asked you the question. But, you know, moving forward into the fighting career yourself, I think the world is at your disposal. You know, going after, you know, looking at Bellator 185, the talent that you have is tremendous. The ability that you have is there. I mean, it's something that you're born with. They say, you know, you can be born a fighter, but you're made a champion. You know, the dreams that you have are true, and I don't think they're out of reach. If you had to make a statement about what the cage means to Lisa Blaine, what would that statement be?
What the cage means to Lisa Blaine? The cage means that's just me and my opponent in there. I don't see anything else. I don't hear anything else. Only people are here in my corners. The cage to me means, honestly, Don, do or die. To be honest with you, it's do or die. It's us in there. And I've lost in the cage before. And even though it does lose to suck, it does suck. But everything's a learning lesson. Even that last fight that I won, my coach still had things to say to me, at least you should have done this or that, but everything's a learning lesson no matter what. So being inside that cage, it's do or die, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've seen a statement that kind of really caught my attention. It said, Lisa Blaine is one of the freshest fighters coming out, that she, you know, possesses some rare talent and raw talent that has never been seen before in striking. So when you look at the striking ability of Lisa Blaine, you know, was it something that came natural to you, or was it something that, you know, you learned over time, or was it something that was always there that you just had to hone in on?
It definitely was not something that was always there. Again, like I said, I started when I was 34. When it was not always there. When I first started training, BJJ was the first thing that I was interested in. So that BJJ was the first class. And then when I started Muay Thai, that came more natural to me. For whatever reason, I don't know, but striking just came more natural to me. I actually took a break from BJJ at that point, and I did probably like 5 or 6 Muay Thai smokers, and then I went back into BJJ. I don't know what it is about striking. I love to punch people in the face. I love to stand and bang. And then, again, going into that last fight with Houlton this is a two-time world boxing champion here. So training for that fight, leading up to that fight, we worked a lot of takedowns, a lot of takedowns in ground game. And I still have, obviously, a lot of work to do on my ground game. But striking, that will always be my first love, always.
Now, I got to ask, because I'm a traditionalist, and you brought up something that I truly love, and that's Muay Thai. You know, I do shows with Lion Fights with Scott Kent and Scott Zur, and matter of fact, I just did their first show for the UK. What was it that took Lisa Blaine from the world of Muay Thai? Because generally, you don't see that transition too much. You're starting to see a lot of it more and more nowadays, but you generally don't see somebody transition from Muay Thai into the MMA aspect. What was it that had you transition over?
Again, I started off with BJJ. MMA is what I wanted to do. I never wanted to do just boxing. I never wanted to do just Muay Thai. I never wanted to do just BJJ. I wanted to do MMA is what I wanted to do. But again, for some reason, it was just fun punching people in the face and kicking them in the stomach. That was fun to me for some reason. It was fun. You know, so I can't say that I transitioned from Muay Thai to BJJ. MMA was always, you know, my passion, my goal. I don't know what it is about striking. It's fun. I can't say that enough. It's
just
fun.
It's fun punching people in the face.
Yes.
I love
fun
this.
Punching
She's
people.
Like,
I love it. Yes.
You know, we had a tremendous holiday. You know, things are just finally starting to pick back up in social media and the world. You know, I hit you up and I bothered you, and I apologize that not all of my posts came out correctly. Like I said, I just came out of the hospital. I'm not perfect.
It's okay.
You know? But okay. You know, I always wanted to have you on the show, and now I got you here. You know, the future is looking so bright, like I said earlier. I'm really one that is taken by your ability and the statute that you maintain. You said you were nervous, but you're actually a pretty good interviewer. I'm the one that's probably more nervous and screwed up more on the show than you have. But, you know, one thing I do like to do is look at a fighter on all aspects. So what does family mean to Lisa Blaine outside of the cage?
When you say family, are you talking about blood family or gym family, friend family? What are you talking about?
Whatever family means the most to you that helps you transition yourself and makes the best out of Lisa Blaine.
As far as family, that would be everybody in the fight community. Those people have been so supportive. It's ridiculous. I have an enormous amount of supporters in the fight community. In Bellator, when the announcer, he announced my name, and I heard that huge crowd. First of all, I did not think that many people were there to support me. When I heard that crowd, when I heard them cheer, when he said my name, first of all, that made me even more nervous, first of all. And I was like, wow, these many people came out here to see me. That was just unreal. But it also was, honestly, it was overwhelming in a good way. And I just... Everybody out there who came to support and people who couldn't make it, tuned in to watch across the globe, I have the most unbelievable amount of support. It's ridiculous, and I thank everyone for that. And, again, I have more supporters than I do haters. So if it weren't for them, I don't think I'd be able to strive as much as I have. I don't think I would have been able to push myself as hard as I did in that cage if it weren't for that amount of people out there in that crowd. So I love everyone out there. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's an incredible feeling. You know, most people don't understand. I mean, I'll tell you, my listeners know, you know, I'm an amputee. I lost my left leg many, many years ago, so I wasn't able to compete as a competitor. So I thought my life was over until I was handed a camera. And, you know, the second half of my
life. I didn't
know
that about
actually,
you. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people actually don't anything. Because I guess I got that... That gangster strut. I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make
is you have that pimp walk. It's that pimp walk. That's what you have.
Yeah, I had that swag. But the fun part about it was I was able to live through the sport vicariously through my camera. And a lot of people don't understand what fight night means to a fighter because there is that thickness in the air. There is a camaraderie. It's second to none. You can't replace that feeling with anything else. I mean, it's just so tremendous. So to be able to have Bellator reach out to you and have you, you know, get a night that truly meant something to Lisa Blaine and to come out victorious was just a stepping stone, the beginning of a path in the future of Lisa Blaine. And I think you have a long future, even though, you know, you say you only have a few years left. But I think you're going to make the best of it. If you look at it in that aspect, what would you like to accomplish in the next couple of years on the plate of Lisa Blaine?
Well, I told you I want to fight for a title. That's my next goal. I never got that as an amateur. I've asked for it. I've been turned down for it. I've asked for a title. I've been laughed at. So my next goal now, you know, before my first goal was to have one amateur fight, and then a goal after that was to have a title fight as an amateur. Now my next goal is to fight for a title. That is my next goal.
And I think you're on your way there, my friend. You surely made light work of Anna Hulatin, and a lot of people, you know, pretty much counted you out. And I was amazed by the ability that you showed that night. You showed the world that you're here to stay and you're here to make a name for yourself in Bellator, whatever promotion reaches out to you. I think you are deserving. At this point in time, I'm going to hand the microphone to you, and I'm going to ask you to make a statement, you know, about what the sport means to Lisa Blaine and how much in your heart and how grateful you are to your fans and what the sport truly means to you, Lisa.
Me personally, the sport to me means that this saved my life. Again, I can't stress that enough. If I weren't training today, again, I'd probably be dead. And this sport saved my life, and I have made a lot of friends, a lot of associates. I've lost friends along the way, too. But if it weren't for this sport, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have met the most amazing people in my life today if it weren't for this sport. And honestly, it means everything to me, and I'm glad I decided to start training. And I can't even begin the long list of people that I have to thank for where I got today.
Most definitely. Rich Shoghi and Matthew Scott Coker, you know, this young lady deserves many opportunities in your promotion. I think she's a tremendous attribute, as you guys saw fit to have her at Bellator 185, and she shocked the world and proved it doesn't matter if you're a champion, she's still coming for that gold. And I think Bellator should be the place that you call home. I think Bellator needs to reach out to you, get you on the next card. You truly deserve this spot. You know, this sport is full of fighters, and not very many of them are out there making statements. And Lisa, you truly have. You've made a statement in the cage. You've made a statement in life. And I'm truly honored that you joined me today. I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any sponsors you may have, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Shout out, obviously, I want to give a shout out to my girlfriend, Lily. Thank you for being there for me. Adam Wall, again, my roommate, and I have to stress that I can't stand you, but I love you to death. My gym, Ultimate MMA, I have to say that. My gym, Ultimate MMA, Andrew, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Marissa, even though she's recovering right now, thank you for being a great sparring and grappling partner. Sarah, thank you so much. Nicole, I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting a lot of people, but you know exactly who you are. And I just want to thank all of my supporters. If it weren't for you guys, I would not have survived that night. So thank you, everyone. You know who you are.
Most definitely. I'll get you the iHeartRadio link after the show, the live show is posted. That way you can have it. I already gave you a link. That link will never go away.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to listen to the interview in its entirety. Truly blessed that you came on the show today, Lisa. I think you have a bright future. I think you're going to make the best of the next 3-4 years, and I think you truly will be able to ascertain your dreams, as you're proving time and time again that the sport needs you. And like I said, I really don't reach out to fighters that are this young in their career, but you caught my attention. You have an ability that is second to none, and I commend you on that, my friend.
I want to thank you, Don, for this interview. So thank you very much for reaching out to me. You're awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You have a good day, and God bless, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lisa Insane Blaine. I apologize. I'm not quite on point. I just got off of being in the hospital for 2 weeks. I had to have back surgery. I will get back on point, as I usually do. Most of my listeners know I care about the show, but I even care about the fighters even more. You know, on that note, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, for always having my back. No pun intended. Alfred and Freddie at the 86ers.net. Truly much love, my brothers. The United Way Merced, can't do it without you. Affliction, you've been with me for 15 years. I couldn't have it any other way. On that note, I want to thank you for joining me on this Sunday afternoon. I apologize, I wasn't on point. My next show Tuesday night will be a tremendous one. We have a great lineup for you. Can't wait to share those fighters with you. On that note, good day and God bless.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hat. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
My man Nelly, Murph Lee, Puff Daddy, Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy.